And I just want to download her voice on my Bible app. Just read it over me. These voices are awesome on these videos. Thank you for being here today. I'm really, really excited. You guys have been really good hosts this morning, greeting me and my family coming over to join you guys. It's been a little bit since I've been here, but I'm excited you're here. I love also looking out and seeing families with their kids in here. That's awesome. We are so glad that the kids are joining us in worship here, and not only in our family worship venues. We love their zeal in here, so welcome you families that are kind of doing that. And we all also want to just address all of our people still watching online. Maybe you're a guest here today and you're watching with us. Please, at some time during the service, there's going to be a prompt to help you, to send you to a site, an email, to let us know that you're a guest today, a connect email there. So please do that for us. We're glad you're here. And also the ones that are still watching online, you're in that sick and that vulnerable population. We miss you. We miss you and your children, and we hope that you return to us very, very soon. So welcome again. Let me say that. Pat still is on this 4-week rest from the pulpit, but he's not resting from ministry. I want to let you know that. He's still doing a lot of ministry, a lot of decision making and things like that. There's really no rest for a pastor in a pandemic. So please continue to pray for Pat, our senior pastor, as he leads us during this season. I think Stephen alluded to the fact that we're continuing in our series called Psalms, Songs for Life. And these are songs that we want to learn, to memorize, meditate, and then sing. These are new songs that we want you to encourage you to sing with your families. These are songs for your soul and songs for your life. And today we're going to look at track 3 in the playlist, Psalm 46. So if you have your Bibles with you today, if you'll go ahead and turn there. If you don't, we will have the text here up on the screen. As we get there and get ready for Psalm 46, let me tell you just a brief story here. In April the 21st of the year 1912, the icy North Atlantic Ocean. It took 3,000 men 3 years to build, and it sank in only 3 hours. 1,500 people perished that day. People from all classes and stages of life, men, women, children, all classes. Now, the Titanic was said to be the safest ship ever built. It even had a sign hanging above a saloon door on the Titanic that read the words, "Not even God himself could sink this ship." It still sits on the bottom of the Atlantic today. Now, I'm sure when the passengers first got on the boat, there was a level of safety that they felt. Things are going really good. They're on a safe ship. But you know, we know that the moment the abandoned ship alarm went off, that safety was replaced by fear, trembling, and panic. No one on the Titanic and no place or no person was truly safe. They were under the illusion of safety. 4 or 5 months ago, we could say that we felt some level of safety in our lives. Our routines were fairly normal. We're going to school, we're going to work, going to church, we're going to Bible studies, our small groups. There's rhythms and routines in our life. There was some level of safety there, right? Even our country, man, employment rates were down. We know that stock market was doing well. There was somewhat safety that were happening. But then the alarm sounded. Panic, fear, doubt took over, and we often felt like passengers on the Titanic. Maybe, we too were under the illusion of safety. One of the mantras of 2020 that we hear on repeat from newscast politicians, the well-wishings of celebrities on repeat is what? Stay safe. Lester Holt tells us that every night when he signs off, right? Stay safe. And what does that mean? It means practice safety, protect yourself, protect other people. There's guidelines that are being put in place in our world and as we attempt to be safe, right? And we should do all of those things. Please hear me. It is wise to be safe. However, the Bible and even our own experience would tell us that guaranteed safety in this world is a myth. We can practice every safety precaution we want to right now, and we should. but it won't guarantee we won't get sick. We can helicopter over our children, raise them in a bubble, but it will not guarantee that they will not get stitches and broken bones. There is no president or political party that can take us back to the safety that was in Eden. Our privacy fences are not impenetrable fortresses. Our Ring doorbell cam can't even prevent porch pirates from stealing our stuff, right? We can't put enough padlocks on the front door, enough bars on the window to prevent a heart attack. The reality is this. We don't even know if we'll live tomorrow. All our efforts, once again, the toil and labor to pursue guaranteed safety is a myth in this world. We try, as I said, we practice, but guaranteed safety is a myth. We lost that in the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was no safety anymore. We were people who were made for paradise, safety in God, not to be stalked by disease and death, but yet we find ourselves here questing for safety. This is why you have so many people in the world that are freaking out right now in fear and panic. We're questing for safety. But the good news of Psalm 46 is that God gives his people a song for seasons just like this. Psalm 46 will be a warm blanket for our soul today. There's great news in Psalm 46 for all of us that even though there is no safe place in this world right now, there is safety in God. So let me pray for us and we'll let the word do the work. Lord, we love you. And God, I thank you for doing a work in my own heart with Psalm 46 this week, but it is not for my own benefit. It is hopefully and prayerfully for the benefit of our entire church. I'm overwhelming, excited to preach Psalm 46 today. I pray that you take it and you infect this church, Life Point Church, and all our people with a contagion of calm and safety and security. God, as I proclaim your word, would you guard my mind from distraction, heart from pride, and my tongue from error? And above all things, Father, get glory today. And if they don't remember a single thing that I say today, God, I pray we remember Psalm 46. We trust you and we trust that it is the cure for our fear. In Jesus' name, amen. So I am an outline guy, so I want to kind of tell you where we're going today. We've titled this message, Safety in God. I've got four things that we're going to walk away. The first one is this, that there's safety in the refuge of God. The second is there's safety in the resource of God. The third, that there is safety under the reign of God. And then the fourth is safety in the reason of God. All right, so let's read the text here and let's unpack this together. Psalm 46 verses 1-3 says this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now notice the first word in the psalm, God. He's the author, he's the point, he's the inspiration of the psalm. But the reason we see it as the first word here, because the psalmist wants us to know that his confidence, his safety, and his security is not found in his circumstances, it's found in his theology. He knows God is a refuge and a strength before the circumstances have even been given to us so far, right? They precede the circumstances. This man, this psalmist, is confident. He is self-forgetting and he is God-remembering in the midst of the trouble that's getting ready to follow and proceed here in this text. When God is our fortress and our strength, we know the people of God. That does not mean that trouble will not come our way. I think Job 5:7 says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. We are people who will face trouble. And Psalm 46 says that he's a present help in times of trouble, that he will not exempt us from trouble, right? So look at the scene that's happening here. It's unimaginable, natural chaos. There is an earthquake that has happened in the world that is so severe that the immovable mountains have been moved into the heart of the sea. Just picture that. Mountains in the middle of the sea, and waters are roaring and foaming all around them, swallowing them up. This is unimaginable chaos. This is trouble, right? Catastrophes that are happening. Our present world globally feels like that too right now. There's a global natural catastrophe that's happening amongst us. But maybe for you, this is more about a time of a personal catastrophe, a bad medical report. Someone you do know and love is sick. Maybe someone has died. Maybe there is relational conflict in your life, a wayward child. Yours is a more personal catastrophe. And when those things typically hit our life, when we face trouble, we're often prone to look to other things as our fortress, as our safety. That's the sin nature in us. So what do? We run to things like insurance policies, money, bank accounts. We run to things like sex and money, a bottle, a relationship. We run to all of these impotent fortresses that ultimately cannot provide the shelter that we need. But take heart, Psalm 46 says, God is a perfect refuge. He is a perfect strength. So we, the people of God, with confidence can say, as Psalm 143, I can flee unto thee and you will hide me. Look at Psalm 27:5. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. God is our refuge. He is our shelter in place. And he also says here that he is our strength. All our strength as Christian people is through him, by him, and for him. What does that mean? As we face trouble in the world, as we said, God says, I don't need your strength. I don't need you to pull up your bootstraps. I need you to humble yourself and say, I am weak, I need help, and that you would run to the refuge that God is. He's not lacking in strength. His enough strength is sufficient for everybody in the whole world. Humble yourself before the Lord and seek God as a refuge. God is bigger than your problems. And verse 1 also says this awesome promise that he is very near in our present trouble. God is very findable in trouble. Let us not be a people to say, where is God? I don't really feel God in my life right now. God's always there. He is always very present. It is us that move away from God. He is always near. In fact, the closer the danger, the nearer the shepherd. He's always right there for his people if we would just run to him. Now, if we're tracking along with the psalmist here in the text, we, if God is our refuge, if he is our strength, and we truly believe that, we would be people that could sing the anthem that says, we will not fear though the earth gives way. Why? Because faith and fear are not roommates. They do not share occupancy in the heart of the believer. When one is present, the other one flees. We, the people of God, are not governed by fear. We are governed by faith. Now, if God is not your refuge and your strength, you have every reason to fear today. But if you know God as your Father and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have no reason to fear. There is safety in the refuge of God. All right, so let's move on to this second piece here. That was safety in the refuge of God, verses 4 and 5. Let's read this together. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. There is safety in the resource of God. Now, here in the second stanza, the psalmist takes us to a different scene. We just came out of chaos, earthquakes, world shaking. And now here he's taking us to a place, Zion, a city of God. And this place is not panicking. They don't have fear. It's one of safety and calm. Why? Why are the citizens of Zion here under such safety? Because there's a resource there, and that resource is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This river is a resource from them. It's like a secret aqueduct of water under a besieged city. And what happens is that the citizens of Zion, they run to the water. They're thirsty. They need refreshment. They need resources. So they keep running to the river because it's the only water that will satisfy them. If you played sports, some of you played sports, two-a-days, football, basketball, whatever your sport is, and you're outside, it's 130 degree temperature, 150 heat index. You're out there, and all you can think about is, coach, blow the whistle, right? I'm so thirsty. All you can think about is the water break. You so desperately need it. Your whole body is thirsting for this water, and it's all you want. That's this water for the citizens of Zion. They can't wait to drink from this water. In Psalm 46, this river is not a physical river. This is a representation of a superior resource, which is God Himself. The river is God. And the citizens of Zion here run to God. He is their resource. He is giving them life. It's satisfying their soul thirst. They keep running to it because it's the only thing that refreshes their soul. So let me see if I can put that in application with us really quick. We are the church. We are the current day citizens of Zion. We are a city on a hill. We are glad in God. And He has given us a resource. He has given us Himself, His Spirit, His people. He's given us a place to run to when we are being besieged right now. We just need to draw from the resource that God is. How do we draw and drink from the resource of God? Three ways that we do that. The first one, following the text here, is that we draw from God through His Holy Spirit. Do you realize that we have the living God, creator of the heavens, the stars, the moon, of everything, the God of the universe, invisible God, has chosen to dwell inside of us? The holy habitation of the Most High is in my body and your body if you are a follower of Christ. That is so humbling. The holy habitation of the Most High in us. What a privilege. What a resource that we can run to for life every day if we would just listen to the Spirit of God. The second resource we drink from God is His Word in prayer. The river is God, but if we don't drink from the river, we will dry up spiritually. Every day we have to drink from this water over and over again. It is our soul's refreshment. It is our soul's drink, and we need it every single day. Get up in the morning and grab your Bible and love it. And don't walk away from your Bible until you have one single promise from God that can get you through the day. Get back in the Word, because your soul needs it every single day. My soul needs it every single day. The third way that we draw and drink from the resources of God is through God's people. Through God's people. Yes, the Lord is the river, but the streams are the believers in Jesus Christ. And we must be people connected to the streams if we're going to drink from the river of God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're the streams. And we are called to gather together as we refresh. We get refreshment from God's people, the church. You know, when God saves us, He doesn't make us a Christian. He makes us part of a Christian family. And we're created for this right here. This is where we drink from the Lord through God's people. We gather. And I know that looks different in 2020, but if gather, fight for it. Whatever you got to do to drink from God's people, you fight for it. We're created for that. Our soul thirsts for it. God's people, which is the church. So those are the three things that we walk through, how we dwell with our God. As we continue here, we've talked about resources of God. If we really truly believe, church, listen, if we have this resource of God, the Holy Spirit habitating inside of us to draw from, if we have His word, His voice, if we have prayer, we can speak to Him, if we have His people, if we have the abundance of God Himself to run through as a resource, why would we ever have to run to worldly resources for refreshment it can never give us? Why would I ever have to run to the media to satisfy a soul thirst? Why would I ever have to run to a non-spiritual spiritualist to tell me what to do? Why would I ever run to those silly Facebook inspirational quotes that are so unbiblical? Why do we need that? Why do I need to go to believeinyourself.com when we have the living God, His word, and His people? Church, draw from the resource that is God. It will always be right, and it will always leave your soul refreshed. Draw from the refuge of God, resource of God. Let's go to the text, verse 6. Keep going. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. All right, our third point here is that there's safety under the reign of God. All right, we're seeing God as this ruling king here. And remember back in verse 1-3 where we had this natural chaos of the earth? Now here we see national chaos. Nations are raging, they are warring against each other, fighting, kingdoms are tottering. God, this should totally sound familiar today, right? And what does He do? The sovereign king speaks one word and the earth melts. Proud kings are humbled. Armies are annihilated with a simple voice from the King of Kings. We also see a play here where God's people were under attack from surrounding armies. God's people have always been attacked by, they're being pushed to the margins out there. And what does God say He's going to do for His people? He says, when people come at you with their bows and their arrows, I'll break their bows. When they have a spear aimed at your throat, I will shatter their spear. And when the chariots are coming my way, I'll burn them up. That is a glorious promise for us today. And here's what I mean. We are in national chaos right now. The kingdoms are tottering. The nations are warring against each other. And God, as the King of Kings, let's remember, He sets up and appoints kings. No one is in office anywhere in the world right now unless God says so. God sets up kings for His purpose. We don't understand what they are, but He has a global perspective that we don't have. He sets them up. And then for us today, Christians, we've always had enemies, right? We have enemies always pressing against us, trying to push us to the margins. Be quiet. Don't talk about God. Don't talk about Jesus. And what does God promise to us to do for us when our enemies attack us? When people have bows from afar trying to attack us, He breaks their bows. When our enemies are right next to us with a spear right up against our throat, He shatters the spears. When people are pursuing us like on chariots, He burns them with fire. These are glorious. This is basically saying our enemies and the enemy has no weapon that can prosper against us. He is the King of Kings. And here's how Jesus has always ruled, from infinite deity to a feeding trough to torment on the cross to today where he seats at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is our King, and there is safety under the reign of our God. You think a God who does all of that is sufficient for our problems? I think he is. I think he is. When we talk about that global power he has, when we bring our problems to him, he is sufficient. There is safety under the reign of God. Now, let me transition for a moment, because if you're reading along the text, there's a potential that you might think, and I might think, that this whole psalm is about me. God is my refuge. God is my resource. God is protecting me from my enemies and adversaries. He is really into me right now, right? I could read that with that lens. But verse 10 tells us the reason that he does all of these things. Let's read it together. This is the pinnacle of the whole psalm. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Our fourth point and final point is that there's safety in the reason of God. That's the reason that he is our refuge. That's the reason he is our resource. That's the reason that he reigns over us, so that we would be people that just stop and say, you are God. You will be exalted among the nations, and you will be exalted in the earth. Our response is to be still and know that he's God. That's the whole purpose for all of this. Now, when we read the words, be still and know that he's God, often we kind of paint a picture of what we think that feels like. Maybe it's a cup of coffee on your back porch at your quiet time in the morning. It's a piece of the day. It's just awesome. You're being still and knowing that he's God. Or you're on a beach and you got the toes in the sand and you're just kind of looking out above the ocean. You're being still. That's actually not the scene that's happening here in Psalm 46. These words, be still, are the very same words that God spoke to the Israelites as they were on the banks of the Red Sea. All right, so picture yourself there, the Red Sea. They're up there. They're facing the Red Sea. They haven't crossed it yet. They look back, and the bloodthirsty Egyptian army is breathing down their neck. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Now, God has already promised them salvation. God's already said, I'm going to do this. What do the Israelites do? They get tunnel vision, they forget God, and they start grumbling, whining, complaining, thinking of themselves, remembering self, forgetting God. That's what they're doing. So you have these rebellious children, and then God says, hey, look what he says to them in Exodus 14:14. He says this, the Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Just stop. Just stop. I've already saved you. You're secure. You're safe. All you have to do is just be still, be silent. So here in Psalm 46, let me see if I can put a modern day illustration to help us see the scene that's actually happened when he says, be still. Imagine a father driving his family to Florida on a vacation. And in the back seat, parents, if you've done this, you know what I'm getting ready to get at. The kids are in the back seat, and what are they doing? They are only thinking of themselves. How much longer, right? They're grumbling, they're whining, they're complaining, right? And then they're having these turf wars in the back seat, right? Get your feet off of me. She's touching me, right? That's the picture that's actually happening here. And what we do as fathers, we turn around and give this kind but firm rebuke and saying, be still, be quiet. That's what's happening in our world right now. People are freaking out. And sadly, it's many in the household of faith. God has already saved them. He's already secured the destination. He's taken us there. And his people are like kids in the back seat of the car, only thinking of themselves, whining, grumbling, complaining, self-remembering, God-forgetting, having turf wars on Facebook over the silliest of things. And it is as if God our Father is just taking us and saying, be still, be quiet. Look up, calm down, I reign. That's what he's saying to us, the church, right now. And I pray that we see that we would not be tunnel vision people like the Israelites, that we would just sit back and say, be still, be quiet, look up, God reigns. That is my hope, that is my prayer. That's the biggest pinnacle of this entire psalm here to do. But the awesome reality of being still, listen, it doesn't happen. It doesn't grab us and take shape of our life unless we learn to stop scurrying about Twitter feed, Facebook, CNN. Turn off the phone, turn off the TV, and get alone with the God of the universe. He works in the stillness. And if we could just learn to do that, I think these be still moments would be much more profound. Now, as I said, verse 10 is the pinnacle of the entire thing. There's only one single command for all people in this entire psalm. It is be still. It's the only thing, it's the only walk away today. That's it. Be still. Now, let me address first those in the room who have professed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let me talk to you for just a moment. The earth feels as if it's been shaken to the core. But the reality of it is, God is still our fortress. The God of Psalm 46 is our God today. He is still a shelter. He is still a fortress for his people. And he has given us his abundant resources. We still today have the Holy Spirit guiding us along the way. We still have his voice, his word. We still have the ability to pray to him. And we still have God's people, streams to help us drink from the river of God. He's still ruling. He's still reigning. No enemy will prosper against you. He's already defeated the only really enemy could ever hurt us 2,000 years ago on the cross. He wins. Church, we're safe in God. Breathe. Be still, be quiet, look up, calm down, God reigns. Now, for those who are here and you may not know Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, or you might be questioning that, maybe you don't have assurance of that. There's a lot of danger lurking around every corner. You live in the same world that we live in. But my case to you would be that the greatest danger that you face today is not knowing the God of Psalm 46. Not knowing this God. How do you know this God of Psalm 46? Well, this invisible God of Psalm 46 became visible. He put on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. He jumped out of the pages of the Bible in real flesh and blood. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us, is the personification of this entire psalm. It all points to him. Jesus Christ is our refuge, our resource, and our reigning king. As a refuge, Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19, I will be with you to the end of the ages. Never leave you, never forsake you. As our resource, in John 4, 14, he said, I will give you water and you'll never be thirsty again. Drink from me, the living water. And as a ruling king who says to all the world, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that I am God. So how do you know God? You know Jesus. How do you know Jesus? You believe in the simple gospel that you are born dead to God, sin is the cause, and Christ is the cure. That you were under this most dangerous thing in your life, and it's your own sin, And you know there's nothing you can do, there's no place you can flee to hide your sin, but then you cry out to Jesus Christ, be my shelter, be my substitute for my sins, and trust in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is how you find safety in God. That's where safety in God is found. And I pray today, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you're watching online or you're in the room, you want safety, not in this world, but you want the safety of God, man, you need Jesus Christ. You can reach out to us. There's going to be an email site you can go to today sometime. You can come up to us after service today. If you're here, come talk to someone out here today. We want to tell you about the safety of God in Jesus Christ. We're going to give you an opportunity to do that here in just a moment, because this whole piece here, as I told you, it sets up to verse 10. Now, the band's going to go ahead and come out, and what we're going to do, because we have a little bit of work here, so stay with me. Be still is the response. We're going to give you a moment where you sit to do that today. For the believer who's restless, maybe you've lost the vision of God and the purpose of this world. You've been a little bit freaking out and those things. This is your moment to just be still with God and know that He reigns. And if you are not a follower of Christ and the Lord's kind of moving something in you, you can go ahead and email us, or you just hold on and come talk to us when we get done here in just a moment. So we're going to give you couple minutes to be still, because God's always speaking to us. We just don't hear it unless we can learn how to be silent and be still. So let's do this now. Be still. Almighty God, thank you for your grace and your mercy, rescuing sinners from the greatest danger we would ever know, being separated from you forever. Thank you that Jesus is our safety in you. God, call people to the safety of yourself today. Rescue them from that danger. And God, would you just embolden and empower your church to shed fear and to walk with the confidence and the safety and security that's found in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In the year 1512, Martin Luther wrote his famous 95-page thesis and hung it on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. This was the igniter to the great Protestant Reformation. Amen. Now, what followed Luther's life, though, was much turmoil and trouble. He faced persecution in hiding, threats of his life. He often felt these ways, and what he would always do, Luther would always run to the Psalms for solace and comfort, specifically Psalm 46. He would often grab his family and his friends and get around and said, let us sing Psalm 46 together. But in the year 1527, Luther faced one of his greatest troubles of all time. The Black Plague was sweeping over Germany and much of the European continent. Luther's young son was on the verge of death. Luther himself, his body and his health were fleeing and fading in the midst of global and personal turmoil. With Psalm 46 on his mind and his heart, he took pen to paper and wrote one of the greatest psalms that we've ever known, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Luther gets credit for this song, but this is not Luther's song alone. This is the song of all of God's people who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in need of help, in need of safety. So this is not just his song, it's our song, and I want us to sing this today. I know Travis and the band want us to sing this loud, so I'm gonna ask you, go ahead and stand up. This is an anthem for God's people. You are safe in God. Let us sing to the mighty fortress. Love you guys.